In Agnes Clerk's System of the Stars, are cited many instances of stars that seem to be so closely related that it seems impossible to think that they are trillions, or billions, or millions of miles apart, such formations as seven aligned stars appearing to be strung on a silvery filament. There are loops of stars in a cluster in Auriga, lines and arches in Ophiuchus, zigzag figures in Sagittarius. As to stars that not only seem close together but that are colored alike, Miss Clerk expresses her feeling that they are close together if these colors be inherent. It is difficult to believe that the stars distinguished by them are simply thrown together by perspective. As to figures in Sagittarius, Fison, recent advances in astronomy, cites an instance of 30 small stars in the form of a forked twig, with dark rifts parallel. According to Fison, probability is overwhelmingly against the three uncommon stars in the belt of Orion falling into a straight line, by chance distribution, considering also that below this line is another of five faint stars parallel. There are dark lanes or rifts in the Milky Way that are like branches from main lanes or rifts, and the rifts sometimes have well-defined edges. In many regions where there are dark rifts, there are lines of stars that are roughly parallel. That it is not distances apart that have held the stars from changing relatively to one another, because there are hosts of indications that some stars are close together, and are, or have been, affected, in common, by local formative forces. For a detailed comparison, by J. E. Gore, of stars of today with stars catalogued by Al-Sufi about 1,000 years ago, see The Observatory, Volume 23. The stars have not changed in position, but it does seem that there have been many changes in magnitude. Other changes: Pubs. Astro. SOC. Pacific, number 185, 1920, discovery of the 17th new star in one nebula, Andromeda. For lists of stars that have disappeared, see monthly notices, 8-16, 10-18, 11-47, Side Real Messenger, 6-320, Jour BAA, 14-255. Nebulae that have disappeared: see Amer. Jour. Psi, 233-436, Clerk System of the Stars, p. 293, Nature, 30-20. In the Side Real Messenger, 5-269, Professor Colbert writes that, upon August 20, 1886, an astronomer, in Chicago, saw, for about half an hour, a small comet-like projection from the star Zeta, in Cassiopeia. So, then, changes have been seen at the distance of the stars. When the new star in Perseus appeared, in February, 1901, it was a point of light. Something went out from it, giving it in 6 months a diameter equal to half the apparent diameter of the Moon. The appearances look structural. To say loosely that they were light effects, something like a halo, perhaps, is to ignore their complexity and duration and differences. According to Newcomb, who is occasionally quotable in our favor, these radiations were not mere light rays, because they did not go out uniformly from the star, but moved out variously and knotted and curved. It was visible motion, at the distance of Nova Persei. In monthly notices, 58-334, Dr. Espin writes that, upon the night of January 16, 1898, he saw something that looked like a cloud in Perseus. It could have been nothing in the atmosphere of this Earth, nor anything far from the constellation, because he saw it again in Perseus, upon January 24. He writes that, upon February 17, Mr. Heath and Dr. Hom saw it, like a cloud, dimming and discoloring stars shining through it. At the meeting of the British Astronomical Association, February 23, 1898, Jour BAA, 8-216, Dr. Espin described this appearance and answered questions. It was not a nebula, and was not like one. Whatever it was, it had the peculiar property of dimming and blotting out stars. This thing moved into Perseus and then moved away. Clerk, The System of the Stars, p. 295. A nebula that changed position abruptly, Between the years 1833 and 1835, and then changed no more. According to Sir John Herschel, a star was central in this nebula, when observed in 1827, and in 1833, but, in August 1835, the star was upon the eastern side of the nebula. That it is not distance from this Earth that has kept changes of position of the stars from being seen, for 2,000 years, because occasional, abrupt changes of position have been seen at the distance of the stars. That, whether there be a shell-like, revolving composition, holding the stars in position, and in which the stars are openings, admitting light from an existence external to the shell, or not, all stars are at about the same distance from this Earth as they would be if this Earth were stationary and central to such a shell, revolving around it. According to the aberration forms of the stars. All stars, at the pole of the ecliptic, describe circles annually, stars lower down describe ellipses that reduce more and more the farther down they are, until at the ecliptic they describe straight lines yearly. Suppose all the stars to be openings, fixed in position relatively to one another, in some interspacing substance. Conceive of a gyration to the whole aggregation, and relatively to a central and stationary Earth, then, as seen from this Earth, all would describe circles, near the axis, ellipses lower down, and straight lines at the limit of transformation. If all were at the same distance from this Earth, or if all were points in one gyrating concave formation, equidistant at all points from the central Earth, all would have the same amplitude. All aberration forms of the stars, whether of brilliant or faint stars, whether circles or ellipses or straight lines, have the same amplitude, about 41 seconds of arcade. If all stars are points of light admitted from externality, held fixed and apart in one shell-like composition that is opaque in some parts and translucent in some parts and perforated generally. The Gegenschein. That we have indication that there is such a shell around our existence. The Gegenschein is a round patch of light in the sky. It seems to be reflected sunlight, at night, because it keeps position about opposite the sun's. The crux. Reflected sunlight, but reflecting from what? That the sky is a matrix in which the stars are openings, and that, upon the inner, concave surface of this celestial shell, the sun casts its light, even if the Earth is between, no more blotted out in the middle by the intervening Earth than often to considerable degree is its light blotted out upon the Moon during an eclipse of the Moon, occupying no time in traveling the distance of the stars and back to this Earth, because the stars are near, or because there is no velocity of light. Suppose the Gegenschein could be a reflection of sunlight from anything at a distance less than the distance of the stars. It would have parallax against its background of stars. Observatory, 17-47. The Gegenschein has no parallax. At the meeting of the Royal Astronomical Society, January 11, 1878, was read a paper by W.F. Denning. It was, by its implications, one of the most exciting documents in history. The subject was, suspected repetitions in meteor showers. Mr. Denning listed 22 radiants that lasted from 3 to 4 months each. In the year 1799, Humboldt noticed that the paths of meteors, when parts of one display, led back to one point of common origin, or one point from which all the meteors had radiated. This is the radiant point, or the radiant. When a radiant occurs under a constellation, the meteors are named relatively. In the extraordinary meteoric display of November 13th to 14th, 1833, there was a circumstance that was as extraordinary as the display itself, that, though this Earth is supposed to rotate upon its axis, giving to the stars the appearance of revolving nightly, and supposed to revolve around the sun, so affecting the seeming motions of the stars, these meteors of November 1833, began under the constellation Leo, and 6 hours later, though Leo had changed position in the sky, had changed with, and seemed still coming from, Leo. There was no parallax along the great baseline from Canada to Florida. Then these meteors did come from Leo, or parallax, or absence of parallax, is meaningless. The circumstance of precise position maintained under a moving constellation upon the night of November 13th to 14th, 1833, becomes insignificant relatively to Denning's data of such synchronization with a duration of months. When a radiant point remains under Leo or Lyra, night after night, month after month, it is either that something is shifting it, without parallax, in exact coincidence with a doubly shifting constellation, which is so unthinkable that Denning says, I cannot explain, or that the constellation is the radiant point, in which case maintenance of precise position under it is unthinkable if it be far away. That the stars are near. Think of a ship, slowly sailing past a seacoast town, firing with smokeless powder, say. Shells from it burst before quite reaching the town, and all explosion points are in line between the city and the ship, or are traceable to one such radiant. The bombardment continues. The ship moves slowly. Still all points of exploding shells are traceable to one point between the ship and the town. The bombardment goes on and goes on and goes on, and the ship is far from its first position. The point of exploding shells is still between the ship and the town. Wise men in the town say that the shells are not coming from the ship. They say this because formerly they had said that shells could not come from a ship. They reason, therefore shells are not coming from this ship. They are asked how, then, the point of explosion could so shift exactly in line with the moving ship. If there be a W.F. Denning among them, he will say, I cannot explain. But the other wise men will be like Professor Moulton, for instance. In his books, Professor Moulton writes a great deal upon the subject of meteors, but he does not mention the meteors that, for months at a time, appear between observers and a shifting constellation.